stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iRadioBlog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah, yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. You know, as we go through the weekend. This was a crazy weekend, first off. I mean, there's so many games that you want to get in and you want to see that, I mean, this is like, I could become, I may have to start going to a football addict class because I'm so into all the different games that are going on. I mean, Thursday night high school, Friday night high school, Saturday college football, Sunday the pros. And you know, this was a tough week or a tough weekend for Arizona sports fans. I mean, I guess, you know, let's see, U of A lost to Stanford. ASU went and fell to Illinois. The Cardinals choked. I mean, they had that game locked up. I mean, come on. And that was just frustrating. You just look at all the Arizona teams, they just flopped. So the only thing you had really this weekend that was going on that was worth it was high school football, and there was a ton of that going on that if you didn't get your fill, it's because you didn't look. Yes, there was a whole bunch of good games this weekend, starting on Thursday night. Thursday night on Fox Sports, there was an unbelievable football game with Basha and Chandler. Now, just for a second, think about this. You have two teams on the field, rack up 1,000 yards, and put up 100 points. I mean, that's a lot of scoring. That's a lot of yards being put on the board. And that's just crazy. You would have thought you were watching a basketball game at the pace that this game was going. I was watching the game and I was tweeting the score and tweeting out what was happening in the game. And I would tweet out, you know, Basha with a 20-yard run, touchdown. Basha with a long pass, touchdown. Chandler with a long pass, touchdown. Chandler with a return punt, touchdown. And by the end of the game, I was thankful that the game was over with because my thumbs were sore from all the texting. I mean, that game was absolutely incredible. It was the National High School Game of the Week on Fox Sports Arizona. So you got a chance to watch Chandler play against Basha. And you had Adam Archuleta commentating the game. So it was great to hear former Ram and former Chandler Wolf doing the game that night. So it was a good game to watch. And you have Basha who went out. And I picked Basha to win that game, but I did not think that Basha was as good as they looked on Friday. But now here's the one thing. These two schools, you can't have 41 points put up on the board and 58 points put up on the board and say these two teams had good defenses. Because there was so much that you looked at and you go, okay, wait, somebody's got to make a stop. For a while, I thought the winner of that game was going to be the last team with the football. And it almost ended up that way. But you have to look at that amazing display of offensive talent on that football field. That Basha football team offensively is unbelievable. I mean, it's like fast break football, basically, is what it is. You know, they've put together an arsenal of receivers and a quarterback that just, he does a great job of reading quickly, dumping the ball out, and then keeping the teams off balance, no huddle, quick snaps, mixing it up. And you know, I was really shocked at the lack of discipline that Chandler had, because really in the first half, the tail of the tape was all about the penalties and turnovers. Penalties and turnovers is really what the difference was in that game. If Chandler hadn't turned the ball over as much, or if they hadn't, I think in the first half there was close to 75 yards in penalties for both teams. And of that, Chandler had 50. So Bash had 20, 25 yards. Chandler had 50 yards in penalties. Second half, I think they had two turnovers in the first half. Chandler, in the second half, turned the ball over a couple times at critical moments. I'm talking serious momentum situations, and they turn over the football. You just can't do that and win a game. And that was a big game for both teams. And Basha came out on top. So it's going to be interesting to see how Basha continues to move forward in their schedule for the rest of the season. Because you know what? They've got some good games coming up here. Now, the next game is at Highland. That's going to be a win. Not knocking Highland, but Basha is going to beat Highland. Highland doesn't have a very strong football program right now. And that's not the coach's fault. There's just not the talent out there right now. Then they go up against Gilbert. Now, Gilbert is doing pretty well this year, and Gilbert actually held off Mesquite 21-14 on Friday, and so that's going to be a good matchup. But I think Bash is a little bit stronger on the front, and I think that that offense is just going to shred the defense of Gilbert. So I'm predicting two more in a row for Bash. Then Desert Ridge, that is going to be a great game. And speaking of Desert Ridge, today our guest coming on the show is going to be Coach Jeremy Hathcock from Desert Ridge. He's calling in from practice. That's right. He's going to take a break from practice. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about the Desert Ridge team. We're going to get an insight to the Jaguars offense and how that potent offense got stopped by the Hamilton team. But, I mean, it's not like a lot of teams haven't. They fought hard during that game and ended up losing, but we're going to hear a lot about Desert Ridge here in the show today. Next, Basha has Perry on the schedule, and that's going to be a tough game. Perry's kind of up and down. You're not real sure where they're going to go with their football team right now. And then Basha comes up against Hamilton on October 20th. That's right. Put that on your schedule. October 20th at Basha High School. That is going to be a battle. Now, here's what's going to be interesting. Is that game going to be, what is it, Hamilton's 50th game in a row? I think they're on 44 wins in a row, 44 straight wins. So is Basha going to have a 50-win streak going into that game? Or is Hamilton going to have a 50-win streak going into that game against Basha? And they wrap up with Maryville, which should be a W right before the playoffs. So now when I say this, I'm not bashing a team. I'm not saying that Maryville is not any good. I'm just saying that Bash is that good. Now, against other teams defensively, they were pretty strong. Those of you who are in the West Valley that paid attention to what was going on in the West Valley probably took a peek at the Apollo Centennial game. Centennial ended up getting Apollo 40-28, and that was a tough-fought game from what I understand. I didn't get a chance to see that. Now, here's the thing. Friday, I was crazy. I was all over the place Friday. I started out actually up at the Saguaro versus Foothills game up in Foothills and watched Saguaro beat Foothills 49-13. I kind of left probably a little bit after halftime, and which was good because I got a chance to cruise through and check out a couple other games because I knew that game was kind of in the bag for Coach Saunders and the Sabercats. So on the way home, I stopped by and watched the Pinnacle versus North Canyon game. Wow, Pinnacle has another, that's another potent offense. That offensive display on Friday night for Pinnacle was amazing. They put 41 points on the board and held North Canyon to 20. But that the score, I don't think, is really reflective of how Pinnacle played. It was great because I got a chance to see the game a little bit and also got to catch up with Coach Charlie Wild, the boys' head basketball coach over at Pinnacle. Great guy. If you ever get a chance to sit down and just talk with him, I definitely encourage you to do so because he's a funny cat. Great guy. And then on the way home, I stopped over at Deer Valley versus Horizon. And you know what? Deer Valley, you know, I kind of want to get a peek at them. I didn't get a good look at them on Friday night, but I'm going to go check out a couple of their games because Deer Valley is playing very strong right now. I think what they're 4-0 right now, and they beat Horizon 42-24, and they were just all over Horizon. So Deer Valley's program is really doing well there. So those are some of the scores from Friday night, things that I saw, and Thursday night looking at the Bashaw Chandler game, and football was great to kind of get a chance to see some of these games. And I'm going to try and do that now more often, hit like multiple games in a night instead of staying at one location the whole night. So that way I get a look at several teams and see what's going on across the valley. Now, you know, the interesting thing about the high school sports, if you look at the Saturday paper, the Arizona Republic, they have the divisions and they have the top five teams listed. And we're just going to take a look here real quick at how those teams fared. You had Joseph City, who is a Division IV team. Joseph City actually beat Heber Mongolian. 72-26. That's just not good. But that's the number two ranked team. And we talked about this earlier in the season when we were, I can't remember if it was, John Perryman or if it was Richard Over talking about those teams. Those teams are gonna battle it out. Then you had Pima versus, Patagonia. Pima went 3-0 and, I guess there was no score reported there. But then Duncan lost to St. Davis, which Duncan is 2-2 now, and they're the number fourth ranked team in the Division Four or Division Six level, I'm sorry. And then you had Glendale Joy Christian defeated Orm, and so they won that game 58-8. They're 4-0, and they're the number five team in the Division Six. Now, those of you who are keeping track of the divisions, these are the smaller schools. Division Five is also a small school division. You had Northwest Christian defeated Phoenix Cortez 59-6. Then you had Yuma Catholic defeating Wickenburg 57-21. They're the number two ranked team. They're 3-1 right now. You've got Thatcher, who's always a decent football program, defeating Globe 49-7. Then you had Camp Verde defeated Chino Valley 55-38, moving them to 4-0. They're the number fourth ranked team. The number fifth ranked team, St. John's, defeated Shenley, moving their record to 3-1. And that score was 51-7. So it looks like there's a little bit of heavy-handedness going on with some of these teams. But, you know, I guess if you're playing everybody and that's just the way the score is going, that's the way it's going. I mean, there are years that some teams are going to be better than others, and this is going to be the result, these lopsided scores. I don't understand the Northwest Christian Cortez score, 59-6. That shocks me a little bit. I thought Cortez would have had a little bit better of a program. But I haven't seen him. So let's look at Division Four. Division Four, you got Blue Ridge, and Blue Ridge is a dominant program, 3-0, versus the number six Division Five team, Edgar Round Valley. I guess there was no score reported at the time of printing. But from what I understand, Blue Ridge did end up winning that game. Sholo lost to Snowflake. So the number two team, Sholo, which is also a perennial power in that division, lost to Snowflake, which is the fifth ranked team, in that game. The score was 28-15. So you're gonna see a little shakeup in that division's polls, I think, as this week goes on and people start looking at wins, losses, and how to rank teams. Coolidge, which is the number three ranked team, defeated Queen Creek Canyon State Academy 49-48. And I guess, you know what? That's an amazing score, and I'm sure that was a great game to watch. And you had Seton Catholic defeating Santan Foothills 49-22. Seton Catholic's program is a pretty strong program, and they used to actually be in the East Sky region until that was broken up and the computer scheduling was put in place by AIA. So looking at the Division III real quick, we talked about Saguaro all over Fountain Hills already, and then Gilbert Williamsfield lost to Oro Valley Canyon Del Oro 40-21. So Williamsfield fell to 3-1. That's the number two ranked team in the Division III. Cactus defeated Greenway 49-0, moving to 3-0. Thunderbird lost to Paradise Valley 40-33 in an overtime game, having them drop to 2-2 record. Now that's an interesting matchup because I've seen both those two teams play, and honestly, I wasn't real impressed with Thunderbird as much as I was Paradise Valley, and I saw them play against Saguaro, so maybe it was a little skewed, but I saw Paradise Valley play against Saguaro, and I saw Thunderbird play against Arcadia. So it was an interesting matchup, and to see Thunderbird fall to Paradise Valley, it kind of makes some sense there. But the Thunderbird is ranked 4 in the poll there. Sabino defeated Tucson Sunnyside 27-28. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side of the break, I hope we're going to be joined by our guest here. He should be calling in any second. So this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Sound a little something, but damn the game. If it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? There's the game in life. Behind the game, behind the game. I got game. She got game. We got game. They got game. He got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune into Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and right now we're being joined by head coach at Desert Ridge, Coach Jeremy Hathcock. Coach, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, I'm glad we could get you on. I know we pulled you away from practice so that we could talk to you a little bit, so we'll keep you for a couple minutes and send you back out there.
No worries.
Okay. So, Coach, you guys have started off great this season. You guys have got impressive wins against Gilbert, Mountain View, and Highland. And, of course, this last week, you guys had the tough matchup against Hamilton. And Hamilton with 44 straight wins, you know, came on. That was a tough game, Coach. Let's talk a little bit about your season before we get into the Hamilton conversation. Let's talk a little bit about your season because you're really not sneaking up on some people, but other people are like going, oh, wait a minute, Desert Ridge is really that good?
Yeah, we knew coming into the season with the state run title game that the run we made last year, we'd have a big bullseye on our back, and we really prepared all year for it, and I was really proud of the way that our kids handled it the first three games, and you know when you face a different beast in Hamilton, you know, we got to understand how to step up. And to be completely honest, it was about the seventh game before we decided to play football last year, and we're not a bad team this year, but we're game 4 good. We're not game 14 good yet.
And you know, a lot of us coaches understand that process. You know, I mean, having a game like the Hamilton game, I mean, that early in your schedule is tough. It is, especially when you're one of those top teams. And, you know, right now you guys are sitting where in the rankings? You guys are top number two?
Yeah, that's where we were. Who knows where we're going to go? It's funny because when you're not ranked, you never look at it. When you are ranked, when you're not ranked, you always look at it. When you are ranked, you never look at it. So, but yeah, it is, Scott. I mean, to face a team like Hamilton right away, we were excited for it. And it, you know, the one thing I can say is we're like the first team in like the history to make Hamilton change what they do, defensively. They've never done that before. They took a lot of risk and it paid off for them. So I give them credit, for gambling. And, you know, we couldn't make the plays when we had to.
It's a game of adjustments, isn't it, Coach?
Absolutely.
Now, Coach, you've been at Desert Ridge since 2006. You've compiled a 37-25 record. You know, you've had a gradual growth, you know, and over the last several years, you went in 2008 from 3-1 to region and 8-4 overall to 4-2 in region, then to 5-1 in region, 10-4 overall. And this year, you're off to a great start. You know, last year, you made that championship title game run. You know, what do you see happening for the team this year?
Well, I'm not going to lie. It's our goal to win a state championship. And, you know, as a player, I won 3 state titles. Only 2 of them were on undefeated teams. And only one of them was on an undefeated team. And 2 of them, I lost a combined 7 games, and we still won state. So we tell our kids that, you know, just get us in the playoffs, and then we'll start making some noise because we'll heat up then. So it is our goal, and every team probably says that. But, you know, that's the expectation around here now. It's kind of exciting. That people are bought into what we're doing, but you know, when you don't have the greatest performance on Friday night, then everybody wants to question what we do. But the truth is Hamilton just a better team right now, and by the end of the season, we feel like we're going to match up real well.
So, Coach, let me ask you this, because you took over for Coach Vincent Smith, and you had to change the climate. You had to change the atmosphere. What were some things you've done there to change the whole? I mean, you basically built it from scratch and had to shift some things. What did you do to make this program successful like it is today?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you win 3 games in a span of 3 years, you take over just a horrible program. The truth is you gotta get great coaches. And it took me about 2 or 3 years, honestly, to get great coaches. Yeah, but they're gonna have a great administration, and our administration in place was actually great. It's just, they kinda had to buy what I was selling from a coach's standpoint to hire them. And then from there, when the kids hear a consistent message throughout campus, you know, whether it be in our sport or wrestling or whatever sport they're in, and that was the main thing for all the coaches at Desert Ridge, to buy into the same message. And so they're hearing the same thing from me as they hear from our wrestling coach and our basketball coach. So we need to get the entire coaching staff at Desert Ridge on the same page. And I think we've done that, because the whole saying that you build it, they will come, there's a lot of truth in that. And then I was also lucky enough to come from pedigree like Paul Morrow at the Blue Ridge and study under De La Salle, Coach Bob Lattiser, to where we understand how the little things and teaching kids how to dream, how important that is to their growth process. So, a lot of things, just not one thing.
Okay. Now, Coach, let's talk about the Hamilton game, because you guys have a pretty potent offense. Your offense is putting up some impressive numbers. Parker Rasmussen's having a good year. You've got a great package surrounding the quarterback. And
right.
Friday night, you guys kind of stalled out a little bit. 6 points on the board, which was really shocking to me. let's talk a little bit about what Hamilton did maybe to kind of throw you off your game a little bit.
Well, you know, like I said, alluded to earlier, they actually came out, changed their complete defense around for the first time in, you know, the 12-13 year history of Hamilton. And so we're proud of that. We'll make adjustments on that. But at the same time, they won this time around. And what they did is they went cover 0 and put their 3 Division I interior linemen and rush the outside edges, which we felt good about after we made some adjustments. And when we watched the film, I went from jumping off a cliff Friday night to watching the film going, wow, we were so close. And if we could teach our kids just to play with passion we feel like we're going to be able to compete with the likes of Hamilton.
Well, you're climbing the mountain, my friend. You're definitely climbing the mountain. Now let's talk about the rest of your schedule, because, you know, and see, here's the thing. Some people look at that Hamilton game and they say, okay, I was early and it was tough and it was demoralizing. I don't think so. I think that if you look at your schedule and you look at the Hamilton game, that's a great litmus test, and that's something that some coaches can turn around and say, hey, you know what? We aren't good enough to beat Hamilton. We got to stay focused. And so it helps to push the kids to the next level, as opposed to some coaches wanted to beat Hamilton. They beat the Hamilton. That's their championship game. Their season's done.
Right.
So
well,
now
there's the old saying that you're in Arizona. It's not really that old, but you're playing for second. I mean, Hamilton has 340 kids in their program. We have 180, which is still really good. But you know, you're right. The test to a great team isn't beating Hamilton. That's not the test to a great team is early. Obviously, winning a state title would be great. But you know, the truth is that the game was a 21-6 ball game with 2 minutes left in the game. I went for it on fourth down on our own 10-yard line, and just because we were still scoring an onside kick away, you know, we didn't get it. They punched it at the very end. So really, we're looking at a 14-point game the whole entire game. So our defense played really well. Offensively, we got some things to do, but because we're so potent, we have a chance to get good in a hurry. And to be honest, our first three games, we played a total of 18 downs in the second half because the games are over by halftime. So, you know, once we get in game shape and our kids start to understand football, we'll be good.
And you know what, Coach? I did not question you going for that fourth down. I was listening on the radio, and I was like, go for it, man. Go on.
Yeah,
I was rooting for you.
What are you going to lose at this point? I mean, what are they going to put another? Are we still lost in any category if we don't go for it?
Yeah. So let's look at the rest of your schedule, because I think that your schedule's a great schedule looking at it. Now, there's one game that I look at, I'm going, ooh, that's going to be something else. I may have to come out and watch that one. You guys have Scott.
Huh? The Basher game.
Exactly. You've got Skyline coming up next. You've got Red Mountain. I know that you guys, I understand you focus on one game at a time, Coach, but
sure.
You know, I got to ask you this question, man. You got Skyline and Red Mountain. I see your team being better than both those teams. Then you come up against Basher. Now, I don't know if I'm sure you got a chance to see some of the game on Thursday night.
Right. Well, yeah, I did, like everybody, and Bass is physical. They're big. They're fast. They got a couple new move-ins from St. Mary's, which makes them really potent. It's just their defense is physical. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think Red Mountain's every bit as good as that. They just haven't hit their stride yet. And Red Mountain, you're talking a program with 280 kids in their program. That's Red Mountain. You know, I mean, so for me, I can't overlook anybody. Skyline, are they good? Well, you know, they're very well coached, and they're a rival. And anytime you play a rival, all bets are off.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And I know that seems like the political answer, but that's the truth of me. And then we got two West Valley teams that are incredibly tough for West Valley teams. And if we overlook them, we're in trouble. So
yeah.
If we can figure out how to play one game at a time and play at the motion, it's going to be fun.
Well, you know what, Coach? I think that you guys are definitely in line to definitely make a great playoff run this year. I'm rooting for you, Coach. I really am. I've got a relationship with Parker Rasmussen, and I love the kid to death. So,
right.
I think you guys have a great opportunity here, and I'm a fan.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the support, and know this, that you know, if you could have told me at the beginning we'd be 3-1 right now, I'd still take it. Even though it hurts right now, but I still take it because I know as a player and as a coach going through it, it's the journey which makes this thing worth it. It's not necessarily a certain event.
That's right. So, Coach, is there anybody out there that at this point, I mean, you know, we haven't had you on before, so I want to give you an opportunity to give some shout-outs or give some love to players or parents or administration, whoever it is. I'm going to give you the opportunity. We have 2 minutes before we have to go to break, so I'm going to give the mic to you.
Well, you give the mic to me, man. I might talk forever. I'm a coach. But, you know, I'll tell you, man, we got a great athletic director, Daryl Stengel. He is phenomenal. You know, I've had tons of opportunity to leave. My kids love it here, but I stay here for Daryl Stengel. I stay here for Mr. Coombs, Dan Coombs, our principal. I got coaches I love. They're my best friends. You know, we got 10 coaches on the varsity staff alone. And one of my best friends, Travis Jackson, is we coached his show together. He brought his whole family out there from Colorado when I came down here. I got Dean Hayes from Gilbert, Angelo Fumi, Jess Barker's old D coordinators with me. you know, Coach Sucklemill, the old Westwood head coach. The list goes on and on. So we're very fortunate. But I will tell you, that Friday night when I watched film, the best interior player on either side of the ball was Alex Barrett. That kid, he's our Division I kid. He is quite amazing. When you're, he made plays all over the field. So we're fortunate to have Alex interior. But, you know, we got a lot of kids. I hate to single one kid out, but if I had to give a player of the game out for our guys, it'd be Alex Barrett.
Okay. Well, Coach, I appreciate you joining us. You know, if you guys get a chance, get out and watch the Desert Ridge Jaguars. This is Coach Jeremy Hathcock, head coach out there. They're doing a phenomenal job growing the program and the number two ranked team in the Division I rankings at this point in time. I want to thank you for joining us today, Coach.
You bet, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to go ahead and head out to a break. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. And, you know, I just want to say, man, that Jeremy Hathcock, head coach at Desert Ridge High School, that's a class act. And you know what? I'm rooting for that team because I just think he knows what he's doing. He's doing it the right way. He's treating the kids great. He's getting the response from them. And that's why they're climbing the polls. They're sitting at number two. And in the end, they will give Hamilton a run for their money. And so that's where I'm betting on that one. I'm betting on that one. They're going to give them a run for the money. Now, the laughter that you just heard in the studio is one of my boys, DK Derek Kennard. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Coach Lovely. You just mentioned man, those that they have a really great squad out there, a good program out there. But you know, I just the reservation, as you hear my voice, is the Hamiltons in the background, and you know, they have open enrollment, and they have kids from all over the valley that's going to that school.
They do.
They have kids that are second string or third string that can play anywhere in the country, but they choose to be at that school. Now, will that hurt them as far as scholarships and or moving on to further their career? Maybe. But these kids are graduating and at a high level of graduation rate at this school, as well as excelling on the football field and the basketball court. So,
yeah.
You know, their enrollment is just out of the ceiling right now, as I hear, and that coaching staff is doing a wonderful job keeping things in check with those students. And
but you know what, man? You know, it's got to happen at some point. Their wins 44 in a row, 44 mm-hmm. straight wins, mm-hmm. man. You're gonna trip and stumble one day. I mean, and I think the team that's poised to help them do so is that Desert Ridge Jaguar team.
Well, you know, I like to see this come to fruition, but to beat this team, it's going to take a whole lot of good defense, as well as an offensive unit that could put some points up. Defensively speaking, from Hamilton's standpoint, they're stingy on defense. They're not going to give up many points, and you have to watch out for your mistakes. If you're going to give up the ball and put the ball on the ground, they capitalize on those mistakes.
They definitely do. So. And see, you're hearing this not from somebody who just sits back and watches the game. And this is a former NFL vet. How many years, man?
I played 11 years in the NFL.
11 years.
Yeah, 2 years in the USFL back when you was a baby.
No, man. Hey, come on now. No. As a matter of fact, John Saunders over at Saguaro High School was a head coach at the LA Express.
Yes, and
we were sitting down the other day talking, and he told me that, and I looked at him and I said, "Oh my goodness!" Yeah. He said, "What?" I said, "Man, I knew when I first saw you here that we had met before, and I couldn't place where or how or when we had met." And so I just blew it off, and we just, you know, had a great connection because of coaching here, and he's a great, great guy. And when he told me that about the USFL, it dawned on me where I had met him, man. Because that's when I was in L.A., and man, all my friends were – I had guys playing for the Raiders. I had guys playing for the Rams, and so we were hanging out. I know – that's when we met, hanging out. I can't think of a place that we used to go eat.
TGIF Fridays at over near the beach.
Was that near Redondo?
No, it was near the beach of Muscle Beach, man, over there.
Oh, Venice. Venice Beach, that area.
Right off there. That TGIF used to be doing very well.
It was so funny because it was both of us, we just, it clicked, and it was like, okay, that's where it was. So anyways, so you're hearing this input from a former NFL vet, man, and he knows the game. Now, you know, I want to talk real quick about the 90-day challenge before I forget, because last week I forgot to hit you guys up with that, but I'm going to tell you what, man. I have been dropping pounds like nobody's business. I am down 30 pounds right now, feeling great.
Wonderful.
Working out hard. And I tell you what, if you're not participating in the 90-day challenge, you need to. You need to set yourself a goal. I think right now we're, what, day 45, 46 for the listeners. And you know what? It's not too late. Get started. Get started. Because you know what? The important thing is that you come up with a meal plan, something that's high in protein, low in carbs, and you get moving, man. I tell you what, that's been the significant difference for me, just getting moving, lifting weights, eating the right foods. And I'm down 30 pounds since July 1st. I'm getting ready to wrap up my 90 days, man.
Nice.
You know, it's funny because this weekend I was up at the mall and I was looking at some pants, you know, looking to get some new jeans. Man, I put on a pair of jeans, I was like a 36. I don't remember the last time I saw a 36.
Go ahead with your bad self.
So you know, you guys need to get on the Coach's Corner on Facebook. There's a contract there. Sign the contract. Commit to yourself that you're going to lose this weight. I don't care if it's 10 pounds. You know, just get on the commitment, drop 10 pounds, get healthier. And you know what? I'm eating better and I'm going to eat better from now on. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to stop eating pizza, because that's my kryptonite. I'm still going to have pizza. I'm just not going to eat the whole pizza.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
You know.
Put some veggies on there, man. Something that will help you keep it moving.
That's right. I'm not. And it's not like I'm not going to In-N-Out Burger, because I got to have me a double-double every now and again. Ooh. Animal style, you know.
Wow.
Five Guys Burgers, I love them too. You know, hey, I'm not going to stop eating food.
No.
But I'm going to eat sensible. And you know what?
In moderates. In moderation.
That's been the big thing for me, man. But Wonderful. It's working.
That's good stuff, man. So when is the next 90-day challenge coming up? When can somebody start? And give me the logistics
of how you're
pumping this thing up.
I'm going to start another one. Because you know what? I know that all of you people out there got the holidays coming up. Hey, coach, I'm not going to start a 90-day challenge and not be able to eat during the holidays. So January 1st. We're going to start another 90-day challenge.
Awesome.
See?
Okay.
So we got all these people out there who go and buy memberships at clubs, this, that, and the other.
Right.
Because, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to drop the weight, right?
Right.
Well, we're going to hold you accountable to it, man. We're going to get you out there, get you into a club. Fine. Get yourself a trainer, get yourself a meal plan, and start reporting. Because you know what? January 1st is when we'll start the next one.
Awesome.
So that way, those of you who have missed out, you still get a chance to be a part of it. You want to make sure that you like the Coach's Corner on Facebook. Also follow me on Twitter @CoachLovely. And then that way you can start getting some updates, and you can start getting some updates about high school football too. There's games that, I will go to that I tweet about and, give all the information as those games, our scores are going on or finals are coming in. So there's a lot of stuff that I'm doing on Twitter. So you might want to jump on Twitter and follow me @CoachLovely.
Wow, man. It's a tough one to follow, but Facebook, I can follow you on Facebook and, check you out there, because, Facebook is user friendly for me. Twitter is, man, it's just so much information. I don't want to know that somebody's at the toilet using the bathroom. I just don't need all that information, man.
Don't follow those people. All right, so what we're gonna do? You know what? We got a special guest that's calling in. I don't know. I know that many people know that the NBA has a lockout right now, and the lockout, there seems to be no movement whatsoever. So it's even worse than what was going on with the NFL.
Yes, it is.
And so we've got Jackie Taylor. That Sports Babe, she is a continual guest on my show. She is going to talk to us because she's calling in from the Las Vegas Pro League, I guess. They're not calling it the NBA Summer League. It's called the Pro League. She's calling from the gym, so let's hear from Jackie. Jackie, you there?
I am here.
Hey, honey, how you doing? How you doing, honey?
I'm doing great. This has been such a great experience the last couple weeks being here.
So now talk to us about this league.
The league is basically, kind of a collection of efforts by a lot of the players to get together and basically have daily pickup games. They've done their best to try to keep, consistent teams day after day. And as it stands right now, I'm sitting here watching Chauncey Billups and Iman Shumpert from the Knicks play against Mo States and Damon Jones. Well, he's down there. Kyle Lowry, Jared Dudley, Corey Maggette, Austin Bay, a few others. It's been a really good time watching these guys.
How long's the league running for, Jackie?
It's going until next Friday, this Friday. I forgot it. We're already in the week two. Yeah, this coming Friday is the end, and there's not really a declaration as to how they're going to set up playoffs or the final game or who's going to be the participants in it. But basically, it's been three games a day with a pickup type style. They've been playing this for love of the game rules. These guys are just hilarious. Watching them, I'm up here in the second area. That's kind of like the private area, looking down at everybody. And I tried to get up here so that it wouldn't be so damn loud, but you can't get away from the squeaking
so
of the shoes
and
everyone yelling and one.
Jackie, tell me this, because I know that, okay, so first off, if you're in Vegas this week, people, if you're out there and you're going to be in Vegas this week, you can stop by Impact Basketball and watch some of these games take place. Impact is not far off the strip, so you get a chance to watch some NBA players play and pick up basketball games. Is there a website that people can go to check out schedules?
It is. It's impactbball.com, and you'll go down to the left, bottom left, and it says, I think they're calling it Impact Vegas League of some nature. I'm calling it Vegas League, but I think they're calling it Practice League of some kind. They're treating it as in such a way that it's basically just a practice every day, but, you know, the guys are out here taking it very seriously. There's, you know, a lot of chippy movements and a lot of chirping, and you honestly think that somebody would be winning a trip to Disneyland at the end of the day because they take it so seriously and they all want to win.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until the ball's rolled out.
Exactly.
That's right.
All right, now you were going to try and snag Dudley for a couple minutes. Is he too busy?
I'm watching him run across the floor right now, and there goes Kyle Lowry, and there goes Dawson Day, and that goes not through the basket.
Okay.
No, he's actually in the middle of playing. The way things are structured out here, it's a little tough because even between half times, it's maybe like five some odd minutes. It's not like they go back to the locker room and, you know, there's time to contact with anybody. They just kind of talk amongst themselves, grab some quick Gatorade, and then they're back out on the court really quickly. So
okay.
It's unfortunate that we couldn't grab them in between games after the game. You know, if we had another hour or so, it would be no problem. But the games are they're never really starting or ending on time, so we just kind of have to play it by ear.
Kind of in flux situation.
Yeah, very much
so,
in flux.
So, Jackie, since you're the NBA correspondent, you know what's happening with the NBA. You pay attention. I know that you were there when Derek Fisher made an announcement after the PA, after NBA PA meeting. What's going on?
Well, you know, that was a really tough meeting for me because I talked to Steph Curry. I had an interview with him afterwards. We sat in the lobby and he was eating an orange, feeling an orange, talking to me like, you know, as we are. We're very casual with each other and we had a very frank discussion about what had happened, and, you know, everybody basically says we all have each other's back, even if it means, you know, the veterans are having to pay for the rookies to come, you know, to a select city to practice because they can't necessarily afford to. You know, everybody's standing together and very unified. There are some sticking points in regards to profit sharing, and, you know, there, I believe they want to take out the mid-level exception, so that's a big beef with the players. They don't want to do that because they feel like it's going to be, it's going to end up where guys will just kind of start fighting amongst themselves, and it won't, you know, bring a lot of team unity. It'll actually probably create more issues than already exist. So they want to make it fair for everybody, and there's a lot of sticking points in regards to, you know, the few owners only that are just being kind of unfair and not really negotiating in good faith.
So do we see any movement at all? Do you think this is going to end up getting resolved? Are we going to have a season?
I'd really like to believe that. You know, there seems to be two major sticking points that are the big problems amongst them. And, you know, the players are not willing to budge on those two issues. It's really that simple.
What are they?
We're being the profit sharing thing and then this mid-level exception and how they're trying to do hard cap, soft cap, that kind of thing. They're not willing to budge on that. And at the meeting, at the Players Association meeting, they actually brought in the guy who was the Players Association president from the NFL to discuss, you know, like, we've been there before, we're here to help you guys in any way we can. Granted, they kind of run a little bit of a different race considering how the goals are and whatnot. But, you know, he was apparently very beneficial and very positive and gave everybody a lot of hope. But I don't know, I don't see them being very flexible on certain. Neither side is being flexible about it. And until somebody, you know, the paychecks start not coming in circa November 15th, you know, that's when people are really going to start to feel it. But up until then, I think everybody's kind of, you know, waiting it out and standing together and saying, you know, what we want. And if you're not going to be fair about it, then that's just too bad. We'll wait it out.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I mean, if we don't have a basketball season, That's just I can't see that.
I don't see it either, Jackie. Jackie, what is the major sticking point? I know you mentioned that you some. This is Derek Kennard from Another Helmet here with VoiceAmerica.com, and I'm just curious about this. Some of the sticking points with the collective bargaining agreement that has to deal with is the percentiles of what the owners want and what the players want. Is it 51-49% percentile for the players, 49% for the players, and 51 for the owners? Is that the sticking point?
I really haven't gotten specifics from anybody. I had an interview with Roger Mason the other day. I spoke with Derek also. Actually, my intern spoke with Derek a little bit more one-on-one while I was off speaking with Stephen Curry. I didn't really get, they don't want to give out too many specifics because they don't want people, kind of in their business and like telling them how they should run it.
I see.
Yeah, so, but they do, allude to certain things, like I said, the profit sharing thing, the mid-level exception. They never really get specific about money or percentages of any kind that are... David Jones is too funny. I'm sorry. He's screaming across the entire channel. They never really get specific about percentages and things like that because I don't think they want everybody, sticking their nose in and saying, well, if you guys would be reasonable and go this way, then, it's a problem, I think, in their eyes. And they want to keep the media as far away from it as they can,
right,
because they don't want to make themselves look bad. They don't want to make anybody look bad. Very diplomatic type of move.
Wow. Well, Jackie, has the NBA even opened their books to the NBA Players Association?
To my knowledge, no, actually, but I could be wrong.
It's interesting because that was a big sticking point with the NFL.
Absolutely.
And the profit sharing and actually the NFL claiming that franchises were losing funds until the books were opened. And it was like, wait, where are you losing money, man? Because all these teams look kind of fat to us.
Yeah, there's a lot of portions where, people are kind of like, okay, this is just really greedy and you guys are being ridiculous. But they're like, again, they've never discussed specific numbers, so nobody really knows.
This could be a season without basketball. I mean, if the owners aren't willing to budge on any of these points, and the players are saying, hey, no big deal to us, we'll sit and chill for a year.
Come on, Jackie, I don't know if I can hang. We got to get some basketball in here, girl.
I hate to be selfish, but they're talking about Vegas League 2.0. And
wow.
I got a house in Vegas. I got a house in LA. I can go back and forth and do this for however long. I've got access to these guys. We're going to the Drew League versus Goodman League rematch October 9th. So, if we have to wait it out, at least I've still got some coverage to give you guys, and I can keep up to date with the players. And as the negotiating goes on, I can report as much as I can get out of them.
So let me ask you this question, Jackie, because this is another thing that we're seeing a lot of NBA-wise that we didn't see anywhere else. But you've got NBA players that have already packed their bags and left the country and are going to play elsewhere this season.
Yeah, I'm not happy about a few of them. Melvin Eli is negotiating with a team in China, and I absolutely adore him. And I would be very, very disappointed if he actually were to sign. But the thing is Travis Leslie hit him the other day as they went up for a ball and scratched his cornea. So I'm not sure that he'll be able to play if they have to, make him pass physical or something. He initially lost vision in his left eye, and he actually kicked over the entire thing of Gatorade all over the court. It was so bad, and he had a towel over his face, and the trainer went back, and I kept turning around to see what was going on, because trainer Scott and I are friends, and I kept giving him the thumbs up, down, is he okay? And he kept shaking his head no. He initially went to an ophthalmologist who said he had got a scratched cornea, and that was, the blood vessels just kind of all raced into that one eye to sort of protect it, and that's why he lost the vision, but the vision came back later that night. Now he's saying he wants to play, but he's got to wear goggles, and he's not supposedly cleared to play, but I'm hearing another story about how he is, but he's not here today. So he's one of the ones who is, kind of thought about checking out. I believe Kenyon Martin is another one, and he's actually playing right now as well. So I'll have a few words with him a little later when this game wraps up.
Have you heard any news about Kobe? Because I heard Kobe was actually talking to a couple teams, one in Italy specifically. Have you heard any updates there?
I have not, and Derek's going to be here in a little while, so I'll ask him just kind of off the cuff if he's knowing anything that I haven't heard yet. because I know him and Kobe are very tight. So, but I haven't heard anything more beyond that.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, you know what? I'm going to let you go. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. You guys are welcome anytime.
Let's get D Fish booked on the show.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're in the building at the moment. I keep looking around waiting for him. He's supposed to play in the next game, actually, which is in about a half an hour. So whenever he shows up is whenever he shows up.
Yeah. Well, let's get D Fish on one day because that's one. I love Derek Fisher.
I'm a big fan myself. He's a good guy.
Absolutely.
Right. Hey, Jack. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome anytime.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, this is the Coach's Corner. I mean, actually, I don't know if we should take the break or not. We only have 3 minutes left. So, you know what? Let's wrap it up here. We won't take the break, Matt. We'll just go ahead and skip in. You know, first off, I want to give a shout-out to my engineer back there, Matt. He is a guy that keeps me on track and fades in and fades out and does all the stuff, man. And much love to you, Matt, because you are awesome, buddy. Thank you for everything you do behind the scenes to make this seem so smooth.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. My man.
Now, under the helmet, you know, those of you who listen to Voice America loyally, you know Derek's been on the show before, and I've told you to stick around and listen to Under the Helmet because he drops some knowledge on you, boy. I tell you what.
Absolutely.
And so real quick, because I'm upset. I started the show talking about how bad the weekend was for Arizona sports, man, and we only have like 3 minutes left, maybe two and a half left. But, man, the Cardinals. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I can only laugh, man, but we got to play better than that, man. You know, it's the Cardinals is man, defensively, man, we just got to get some stops, and offensively, you know, gosh, man.
It seems like we're saying the same thing every year.
Yeah.
And the problem now, this is just my perspective, okay? I think every year we talk about the secondary getting lit up, and it never changes. You know what?
It has not.
Hey, Wilson, sorry, son, you got to go.
You know,
your nickname is Toast.
You know, I knew this situation was going to arise with Wilson, and you know, yeah, he's been getting toast, and they're exposing him quite a bit now, and everyone sees it. And at some point, you're going to get better or you're going to get worse, and so at some point, you got to cut your losses and move on. But
yeah, it's time to cut the losses with that brother, because you know what, he just is not carrying his weight.
And no,
I mean,
he's not.
And if you look back at it, man, even in the Super Bowl, against the Steelers.
Yes.
That was our Achilles heel, man.
And how teams are exposing him is by way of just getting him in coverage. And once you're able to get him in coverage, he can't cover anybody. So that and there lies the problem. So where his assets are is rushing the passer and are blitzing, and that's basically it.
Gain 50 pounds to get on the line, then. Because you're killing us in the backfield.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So, you know, we had some opportunity to grab some guys before the season started. They chose to stick with A-Dub, and right now he's sticking up the place, and he's...
It's time to cut the man. Yeah, come on. Cut your losses. Yeah, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again while expecting a different result. Cards are insane.
Well, I want to say Benny Wells has been under my radar for quite some time since he got off the bus and hurt his ankle when he arrived here in Flagstaff that very day. And my point being with him is it's time for him to show up and start carrying his load. This quarterback needs him. This offense needs him. This team needs him. Far as him carrying his load, he needs to run that ball and keep the our defense off the field.
Yeah, you can't have him on the field 40 plays, man.
No, you cannot have your defense out there that long.
Well, Matt's telling me we got 30 seconds left to go on the show. I want to thank you for listening today, and DK, thanks for joining me, bro.
Hey, you got it, man.
You guys stick around and listen to Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard. This is the Coach Scott Lovely saying thanks for listening, and remember to always leave it better than you found it. We're out. Peace.
There you go.
Game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Bye.